Bible tonight to Nehemiah chapter number 7. Nehemiah chapter number 7. It has been a few weeks since we looked at the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to get back into the study of Nehemiah here a little bit. Nehemiah chapter number 7 will remind you where we finished off last week. A number of weeks ago, they had finished building the wall. And after they finished building the wall, it only took them 52 days. So they have accomplished their purpose. They had done what God had called Nehemiah to do. So what now? What next? And you'll see this is kind of a transition point in the book of Nehemiah. It went from the building of the wall. Now it's to the preservation of the wall, or the preservation of the steps they had taken. Just because they build a wall doesn't mean that the wall is always going to stand. So the title of tonight's message is Building Through Preservation. The idea of preserving something to keep something safe. And Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, we see that the Bible says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elah, and 50 in 2 days. So number of months of getting it prepared, number of months getting things ready, getting everybody's heart ready, and prepared and did it in 52 days, miraculously. And the idea that we chose and the reason why we chose Nehemiah this year because of the theme about rising up and building. And I pray, as we talked about last week, are we pleasing the Lord? Have we grown in our walk with God? Have we gotten to the point where we see the growth that we think God spoke into our heart about at the beginning of the year? And if we have, then great, let's keep on pressing forward. But we need to learn how to persevere, but also preserve the growth that God's given us. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life when God's worked on my heart, God's worked in my mind, and I've gotten things right and got things settled, and I made commitments, and things are going well, but I didn't preserve it. I didn't continue on. So that's what we're coming at in Nehemiah chapter number 7. The wall's built. As we know that Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king had given him a certain amount of time. The king wanted him to come back. So Nehemiah at some point in time has to leave. So he didn't come, and the Lord didn't speak to his heart to come and build this great wall and to do something great for God just to let it become ruined and let it to be overrun by those enemies. Because we know in the book of Nehemiah there's been plenty of enemies against building this wall. Application for us is that, you know, God is not asking us to grow and to build and do something great in our lives for God and for His glory for us to just let it sit, let it become overrun by the enemy. God wants us also to preserve it. And that's where we come in Nehemiah chapter number 7. There's some people that have to be chosen to be in charge of the wall or in charge of the city. And how are they going to be chosen? What are some of the different regulations or some of the different attributes they're looking for when it comes to leaders? And what are positions that have to be put? We want to make sure Jerusalem now is taken care of. The walls have been built. The temple has been built by Ezra's group. So what happens now? Let's look here in Nehemiah chapter number 7, verse number 1. It says, now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed. Now the porters are ones that would be like the watchmen. It would sit on top the wall and see who was leaving and who was coming in, and they would be the ones that would warn. They would be the protectors of the city. The singers, the one that would be constantly praising God, and the Levites were the ones that would take care of the priestly duties. Verse number 2, it says, that I gave my brother Hanani. Now, Hanani here, now we don't know whether or not he is his earthly brother or not, blood brother or not. We do know that he is a Jewish brother. You say, where do you see that? Well, if you take your Bibles and go back to chapter number 1, and chapter number 1, remember, there was a man who came to the kingdom when Nehemiah was the cupbearer. Nehemiah asked him about what was going on in the kingdom. And it says in verse number 2 that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain men of Judah, and I asked him concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So what this tells me, a few things about Hanani here. Number 1 is that he was part of the group that went back with Ezra. Now, what group went back with Ezra? Well, before, when God had let the people go back by using the king's decree, there was about 2% of the Jews that went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. There was tons of Jews that were happy living in Babylon, happy living in Persia, happy just living a comfortable life. And when the king has said, okay, Jews, you can go back and rebuild your city if you want, about 2% went. And that's where you have Hananiah as part of that. He, to me, that tells me he cares about the city. He cares about the heritage. He cares about the God of the city. He cares about the belief system that there. So Hananiah goes back. And then you have another person here. It says, and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. So we see here that Nehemiah sets up these two men to be the ones in charge of Jerusalem. You say, okay, why? What was special about them? You know, was it their popularity? Was it their wealth? Was it their education? Was it their ability to take on leadership roles? What exactly was it? Was it that they were warriors? What was special about them? And it's great. The Bible simplifies it. And I think if we can get these two things, this is what we have to determine to be ourselves. If we really truly want to preserve what God is trying to do in our work, there's two things here that we see here. He says, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. We see two things here. Doesn't talk about his popularity. Doesn't talk about his savvy, his political sense. Doesn't talk about his wealth. It says that he was a man that was faithful. And he was a man that feared God. Verse number 3, he then gives some instructions about how to keep the city safe. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. So why in the world would they do that? Well, look what it says in verse 4. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. See, what would have happened then is that the people would have came in, their enemies would have came in. You say, well, it says, while it's not hot. You know, people could be sleeping, people could be resting, and the enemies could come and be attacking, especially even at nighttime. The enemies, it's only when it's the hot of the day, because that's when everyone would be awake and everyone would be alert. Verse number 5, and it says, and my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first and found written therein. And then it begins to give everybody's favorite part of the Bible, genealogies. You know, you get this person begat this person begat this person, or the men of this person, the men of this person, the representations there. But tonight what I'd like to look at and spend a little bit of time about is how do we preserve? I don't know about you, but our goal has been that God has been working, God has been moving. Maybe we've grown in our Christian walk when it comes to our soul winning or Bible memorization, Bible reading, or prayer life. How do we preserve what we've been doing? And I think we find, first of all, we need to determine to be a spiritual leader. Determine to be a spiritual leader. You say, Pastor, I'm not a leader. Well, these two qualifications are things that every Christian could be and every Christian should be. Every Christian should have a desire to have, like Paul did today with Timothy, or with Timothy, to be a Paul to somebody else's Timothy, to be a leader in helping disciple and helping to encourage people in their walk with the Lord. And how do you get that? How do you get chosen to be a mentor? How do you get chosen to be a leader in a church? What do you look for? What's the qualifications? And people ask that today. And the day and time we live in 2016, that people say, well, why did that person get that job? Or why did that person get to be maybe a deacon or have a position or have in charge of a certain ministry? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And there's two great things here. He said he was faithful and he feared God. Christian, this is, if we want to preserve what God's been doing in our heart and what God's been working in our heart, we're going to have to learn to be faithful and we're going to have to learn to fear God more than man. Let's look at this idea of being faithful. There's these two great requirements. Faithful man. Something was seen in Hananiah's life. Something was seen that spoke to Nehemiah. There was a need in Jerusalem, and there was a man that needed to be the one in charge. Who was he going to pick? Who was he going to choose? Who was going to be the leader? It was going to be a man that was faithful. What was he faithful to? Well, you think about it, when we go back here, we look at a man that's faithful to God. He was a man that came back with Ezra, I believe. He was a man who was faithful in building, and he was a man that was faithful to his family. You think about it, over and over in those earlier chapters, we showed how they brought the families together and the men, while they were building, and they had the sword, the trowel in one hand, the sword in another hand, and they were building the wall for their families and protection of their families. He was faithful to his family. He was faithful to the work. I remember the verse that's back in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, which is one of the verses where we get our theme from this year. And Nehemiah is there talking. He says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, also of the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." I can imagine that Hananiah is there, and Hananiah is the one at the front of the group, and he's been listening. He was the one that told Nehemiah probably about 9 months earlier there was a need, and how the walls were laid, and the walls were wasted, and they were burned, and how they were saddened because of the state of Jerusalem. And I can imagine when he had been praying for Nehemiah, he'd been praying that God would send somebody. And when Nehemiah began to talk about all the things that God was doing in his heart, and how the king opened up the opportunity, and all these things were happening, Hananiah is there. Yes, let's go do it. Let's go work. Let's go do these things. He was excited. He was faithful. Now, church, I know that sometimes we go and we say, man, there's certain things I can't do. I can't sing like they did in the choir earlier, or like the men sang, or like Miss Carrie sang. I can't do that. I can't teach, or I can't minister in certain ways that other people can. You know what? There's something that we can all do. We can all be faithful. Whatever God's given us to do, whether it's teach a Sunday school class or be a member of a Sunday school class, we can be faithful. Whether it's cleaning something here at the church, or whether it's singing in the choir, or both, we can be faithful. And there's a tremendous need in our lives today, in our churches today, in our society, for men and women to be like Hananiah, who will be faithful. I'm not talking about people who are up and down. I'm not talking about people who are cold and people who are hot. I'm talking about people who are consistently in love with God and willing to be faithful, people who are just going to be there. The Bible says in Psalm 62:2, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I see Hananiah as a person who was steadfast in this work. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Church, this is something we can do, and this is something that I believe God's looking for when it comes to people who's going to maybe have a position, or maybe be a leader, or God's going to preserve what he's been working in your heart, is you're going to have to be faithful. There's no way around it. You're going to have to be there. And man, how much are we thankful for those people who are just there? You know there's going to be there. You know you're going to have to call them on Monday because something was wrong when they weren't here on Sunday, and they didn't tell you because they must have been sick, or there must have been something that bad to happen because you knew that they were going to be there. You were surprised when they didn't show up because they had been faithful. And church, this is what we need today. We need people who are going to be faithful. Not people who are hot and cold. Not people that are up and down. We need men and women and teenagers and children that says, hey, I love God and I'm going to be faithful to God. You know, remember, it's God is our goal. The knowledge of God is our goal. Some people say, well, church, we should grow. Numbers is the goal. Finances is the goal. No, no, no. God is our goal. Knowing him, loving him, letting him speak to our heart and work. And don't get me wrong, if we are faithful to God and God is going to be faithful to us, and I believe we're going to see our church grow numerically if God is our goal. If you know God and you're faithful to God, I believe growth will be happening. But the first thing we must remember, and our primary goal, is to be faithful to God. And that's where I think Hananiah got it. Hananiah was, once again, he went through a lot already. He was there. You know, the building of the temple of Ezra wasn't something that happened quickly. It didn't happen easy. We learned about that in Haggai, how many years they took off. And I'm sure that Hananiah was someone who was praying for this, and these things happened. And he was a man that was, of all the people, he said, look, there's a guy that's faithful. There's a guy I can trust. Who cares if he's the most popular? Who cares if he's the most talented? Who cares this, that? He's a faithful guy. That's what we're looking for. I think about Ananias Judson, who was the great Baptist missionary to the country of Burma. No one else had gone to Burma before that with the gospel. While there, Ananias Judson lost his wife. His wife dies. his daughter dies. 7 years long, he's presenting the gospel, he's preaching, he's teaching, not one person gets saved. You know what? Most people would have given up. Most, even probably some churches would have looked at him, and our growth idea syndrome today is that it's, there's something wrong, there's something bad happening. What a waste. Why should we support someone like that? But I'm thankful that Adonai and Justin got something. His goal was God. His goal wasn't just reaching people. His goal was to please God and be faithful to God. And you know what? For those 7 years, he continued on being faithful to God. And after about 7 years, there's a few that started receiving Christ and accepting Christ. And by the time that Adonai and Justin was gone and off the scene and passed away, thousands upon thousands of people were saved. Why? Because he said, I'm going to stay faithful to God. I'm going to stay faithful to what God's called me to do. I'm going to stay faithful and keep on doing what God has asked me to do. Hananiah was a man that was faithful to God first. Also, I think he was a man that was faithful to his family. You know, I think this is important. Day and time that we live in today, we need people who are going to be faithful to their families. What a tragedy to see unfaithfulness to families. Unfaithfulness in the husband and wife's relationship, unfaithfulness in the parents and children's relationship, unfaithfulness with the children to the parents' relationship. You know, we need people who are going to be faithful. And faithful to the work of God. And that's what Hananiah, he said, why do you know all that? Because I know Nehemiah looked over all these thousands of people and he saw this one man. He says, there's the guy that's faithful. If we really truly want to preserve, we're going to have to be faithful. Next thing I want you to see is not only does it say in verse number 2 that he was a faithful man, it says he feared God above many. He feared God above many. And I think that America today is dying. Churches today are dying for someone who the pastor will fear God more than they will their people. We have too many churches today where preachers care more about what the people think than what God thinks. That's just not the way it's supposed to be. It isn't. We need a pastors and preachers that will stand up and say, you know what? This is what God thinks. This is what God wants. And it's hard because everybody agrees with that, but then they still want you as the pastor to listen to them. Oh, yeah, you should fear God more than anybody else, but you should also listen to me. Everybody makes it private. Everybody makes it personal. And don't get me wrong. I'm not against suggestions. But, you know, we need some people, not just preachers. We need some fathers, we need some mothers, we need some Sunday school teachers. We need some people who say, look, I fear God more than men. And the Bible tells us over and over, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's our memory verse of the week. And as you're thinking about this, you know what? The Bible says that Hananiah was chosen to be the leader here. He got appointed to this great responsibility. Why did he get appointed to it? Because he was faithful, but because he feared God above many. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. And if you go back in your life, and I see sometimes some things that I regret it. I tell people, as a kid and as a teenager, I was really immature. I had a lot of things that I wish I would have never done, things I wish I would have never said. And you know what? Many times those things I go back, I look over and I regret things I did is because I was trying to please people. You can even ask my mom. She says, Brian, you were a good kid. You just wanted to make other people happy. And some of you know that I had some medical problems with my eyes and had to go on certain medicine, made me really overweight as a young person. She says, you just acted out in an immaturity because you just wanted to please people. You wanted to be liked. And you know what? We need to live in a day and time today where we fear God more than people. Where we're trying to please God with our lives and people. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And those times that I regret some of the things I did is because of the peer pressure that was put upon me. And that's where we live at today. Why do we do the things we do? Who are we trying to please like we learned about last week? Do we fear God or do we fear man? And the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Church tonight, if you really truly want to preserve what God is doing in our lives and in the growth that you've seen. If you don't want to let it slip back, if you don't want to fall back, you're going to learn how to be faithful, and we're going to have to learn how to fear God more than man. Next thing I want you to see, not only determined to be a spiritual leader, but determined to stay safe. determined to stay safe. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about here? Well, you look here, as we mentioned in verse number 1, now it came to pass when the wall was built and I had set up the doors and the porters. So, as we mentioned, the porter was the one that would stand on the wall and they would watch. They would open the gate. They would open the gate when there was time to open it, and they would close the gate. Verses 3 and 4 discusses this and talks about the importance of when it should be open and when it shouldn't be. And we need people who are going to be diligent. They're going to be a watchman. They've been appointed to sit on that gate and sit up on that wall. If danger was coming, they were supposed to sound an alarm. They were supposed to shout out. They were supposed to say, hey, there's danger coming here. There's a problem here. We need to fix something here. Church, if we want to persevere, but more importantly, if we want to preserve, we need to be watching. We need to be seeing. The Bible talks about how we need to beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. We need to be watching at our church that God's given us. But also it says, keep thy hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to make sure that the gates are set up in our lives and that there are things that we're guarding our hearts against and guarding against our lives. We need to make sure that we keep things out that shouldn't be there. We need to be saying, hey, look, I don't want to have a part of that. God's worked in my heart. God's worked in my life. I've built this wall. I've seen growth. I've seen good things happening. And there's a dangerous thing there. I need to guard my heart. I need to put that defense up against my heart. I need to be watching to make sure I don't let that garbage and that trash come into my life. To open the gates in the early morning would invite an enemy. And many times at nighttime, the enemy would try to attack. That's why there had to be somebody up there watching. And I get to this thought and I'm thinking, man, how much do we need to guard ourselves at night? When we're there and maybe the work's done for the day and we have a few hours to ourselves, what am I going to do? Am I going to rest? There's nothing wrong with rest. The Bible speaks of rest. Well, what about my entertainment? What about the things I'm letting in my heart? What about the things I'm letting in my eyes, the things I'm letting in my ears? If we want to preserve what God's doing, we're going to have to set up porters. We're going to have to say, you know what? I can't be a part of that. There's something coming that's dangerous here. Let's stop. Let's not let that in, the gate. Let's lock up the gate. Let's say that's not coming in here. Then you come to the spot where it talks about the genealogies. You know, these same genealogies is found in Ezra. So why in the world would God put it twice? Why would God make me read it every year twice? And I think one of the applications you can say is God knows who you are. He loves you. He knows your name. And it's just a wonderful thing here. It's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of paper. God knows your name. You're not a number to God. You're not a face in a crowd. You know what? He knows who you are, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. You need to determine to stay safe. You need to determine that you're going to be a spiritual leader. If you want to preserve what God's doing, you need to determine to be safe. And next thing you need to do is determine to support God's work. You go here, verse number 70. Once again, we skipped over all the genealogies. There's some interesting things in there. If you want to go through and read it, you can. But verses 70 through 72 talks about the different people who gave to help support the ministry. It says here in Nehemiah chapter number 7, verse 70, and some of the chief of the fathers gave unto the work. The Trisathah gave to the treasurer 1,000 drams of gold, 50 basins, 530 priest garments. And some of the chief of the fathers gave to the treasurer of the work 20,000 drams of gold and 2,200 pounds of silver. Verse 72, and that which the rest of the people gave was 20,000 drams of gold and 2,000 pounds of silver and 70 priest garments. You know what? There's people that gave to the work of God. You say, Pastor, it's about money. You know, I don't talk about money that much, only when I come across it in the Bible. But it's something God talks about, something God expects. You know, I love it when in Philippians chapter 4, when Paul talks about, it's not fruit to my account. He's like, I want fruit to abound to your account. I'm talking about your giving. He says, I've learned to be content, but in your giving, you're going to see fruit come to your account. You're going to grow as a Christian, as a believer, when you do things God's way and God's plan. And I think it's interesting. Verse 70, you see one person giving a certain amount. Verse 71, you see some other people giving another amount. Verse 72, you see a group of people that's giving another amount. And I think it's interesting to see that there is a different group that's giving different amounts. You think about when Christ, he commended the widow who gave what, that mite or a half a mite, a half a penny? I mean, there was nothing special about what she gave, but she gave what she could, and God knew that, and Christ commended her for that. And that's the way giving should go at a church. Everyone should give. Everyone should give, be a part. The Bible speaks about the tithe. You say, well, that's the law. No, it became before the law, even when Abraham gave a tithe. And Paul speaks about the giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. But every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, it's my prayer that we at Faith Baptist Church would not be the type of church where only 10% do 90% of the giving. I don't think we're like that. I don't really know what the giving records is. I don't check people's giving records. I don't think that's my right or my authority in a sense to do that. That's between you and God. But at the same time, in some churches, you know, only 10% give. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way, that's not God's plan for it. But there's also different, 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. There's a principle here. According to what you have, that's what you give. According to what God has allowed you and God has blessed you. God has blessed certain people so much with so much that, you know what? They have the opportunity to give more. Praise the Lord for that. And if you let God do the increase, let God do the work on your heart, let God do these things to make it available for you to be able to give and do what God's done. Don't try to shortchange God if you're wealthy, but don't try to shortchange God if you're also not very wealthy. So how do you preserve what God's doing in your heart? Faithfulness. Like I said, you can have people who are talented. You can have people who say these things that look this way, and people, man, there's a great family, or there's a great potential, and there's this, there's that. Give me a faithful person, person who's going to be faithful, person you know is going to be there, person you know is going to say, hey, look, I can be faithful because I want to please God with my life. Then you also see a person that fears God more than many. It means that he cares about what God thinks more than anybody else. And as a pastor, that's what you want me to do. You want me to fear God and do things the way God wants me to do. But you know, as a husband, it's the same way. You need to fear God. As a mother, you need to fear God more than what your children are going to think of you. You need to fear God as in every area of your life. But then let's keep things safe. Let's be protective. He pointed up the porters. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the singers. Next week's a little bit about the praise that God continually wants us to grow in and as we're building the wall. But in the porters, when you sit there and you listen, he set up. And even before he gave the leader there, he put the porters in place. He says, we didn't do all this work. We didn't come this far to let some enemy come in and destroy what we're doing. And Christian, if you've been growing this year, you didn't do all this work. You didn't come this far to let the devil come in and wreck and ruin your lives. Put some guards up in your life. Put some porters out there and say, you know what? I'm not going to watch something like that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to have that friendship. I'm not going to be a part of that because that's going to damage what God's doing. And then support God's work. And these guys built the wall. And they gave of themselves already. They have done so much. They have worked night and day, if you read it. And you can imagine how quickly they got it done. They were pushed to exhaustion. And then after they did all that, it says they reached into their pocket and they gave to God because that's what they were supposed to do. And I know sometimes people say, well, I do work around the church, so I don't need to give. Well, you know, I don't see that in the Bible. And I want to encourage, it's not for my sake. It's for your sake. It's for your family's sake. We need God's blessing on us. We need God's power. We need God to work and move in our midst. And we're going to have to obey him in every area of our life. We need to fear God. Well, what will my wife say if I start giving? Or what will my husband say if I start giving? We need to fear God more than many. We need to fear God more than the credit bills. And then once again, let God work on your heart and lead you there. But what are we looking for? What's God looking for? For a man to be faithful. For a woman to be faithful. For a teenager to be faithful. I know teenagers nowadays, sometimes they're like, what can I do? I tell them lots of times, be faithful. Be faithful at what? Well, be faithful as a son or daughter first. God's giving you a ministry there. I know everybody talks about the the mom and dad and ministering to the kids. But boy, how good it is to have kids that behave, kids that listen, kids that obey, kids that want to serve, and kids that want to have the right attitude, kids that want to go to church. You know, there's a way that you can minister there inside your own house, inside your own family, kids. Be faithful. There's a little cute anecdote that I've read while I was studying about being faithful. It says, I read of one church choir director who was being driven out of his mind at the rehearsals for the upcoming Christmas cantata. It seemed that at least one or more members of the choir were absent at every single rehearsal. Finally, they reached the last rehearsal, and he announced, "I want to personally thank the pianist for being the only person in this entire church choir to attend each and every rehearsal." You've been there, haven't you, Miss Kathy? He said, "During the past 2 months." And the pianist rose and said, "I thought that was the least I could do since I can't make it to the cantata tonight." You can't do that, Miss Kathy. Faithfulness. It's not just being faithful 364 days a year. Husbands, you know, if you're going to be faithful to your wife 364 days a year, you know what you're going to be called? A lousy husband. Wives, going to be faithful to your husband for 364 days a year? No. How come we can be faithful to God only part of the time? Let's try to be faithful to God all the time. God's looking for a way. If you want to preserve what God's been doing in your heart, be faithful. Fear God. Set up some safeguards and support the work God's given to you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.